Stillman and Company is delivered by TriStar Moving, ESPN 102.5. The game we are streaming live every day. YouTube, just go to YouTube, pull us up. We're right there. Periscope on Twitter. So if you got my Twitter, Caroline's Twitter, 102.5 The Game's Twitter, you can just see that little box. Just click it. You can watch this show and Twitch. And our streaming is presented by the law offices of Amanda Gentry. Caroline Fenton, hello today. How are you?
Hello. I am great. How are we doing?
I am doing fantastic. Ian, how are you?
Just fine. Thank you.
By the way, I want to congratulate everybody last night, and I want to thank everybody last night at the American Cancer Society who put on Coaches versus Cancer. We raised a lot of money, and there were a lot of things I wanted to bid on last night that I could not afford, that I really wanted to bid on. And it was like, you know, $2,000 for that is not the end of the world. Then it's like $4,200 over that. Like, nope, not for me. I just, I couldn't hang with the crowd, but I do want to thank the American Cancer Society last night, raising a lot of money for cancer research. I want to thank Sean Farnham. You know, we all know him as a college basketball guy. He's on SportsCenter. He's on ESPN. He's calling games. But every year that we've done this, this is now the fourth year that I've opened up for Sean Farnham, and the passion that he brings every single year is, in my opinion, absolutely unmatched. And I said when I got up there, we honored Coach Fulmer with the Lifetime Achievement Award yesterday. And I said up there, when I got up there, and I stole a line from Sean where I asked everybody who had lost somebody to cancer, and everyone in the room puts up their arm, and I talked about how we lost Floyd and how, you know, coaches versus cancer, and that's our coach right there. And I want to thank all of our basketball coaches, Jerry Stackhouse. I mean, everybody was at the Casey Alexander. I heard yesterday that Casey Alexander at Belmont might have a top 15 team. Then I heard he might have a top 10 team. Then I heard he might have a top 5 team. Now I heard that Belmont might be preseason ranked number one.
Probably.
This is what I heard.
I mean, good for Coach Alexander.
Don't know if that's true or not.
Putting in some work over there in Belmont.
But it was a great night, and every year I appreciate being a part of the Coaches versus Cancer event. We've been doing this as a station for years and years and years, and I was glad we could do the radio show there yesterday, and I just want to thank everybody who participated in the event as well. Now, let's start with this. Sports is weird. Like, it's all cyclical, right?
Mm-hmm.
So I'll use an example. In the 1980s, in basketball, people thought the only way you could win was with a dominant post player. Everybody wanted the dominant big guy. You know, guards are too small. They just, you know, what can they do? They all wanted Akeem Olajuwon. They all wanted Clyde Frazier. They all wanted the big post, Patrick Ewing at Georgetown. They all wanted the big guy. Remember when Greg Oden out of Ohio State went number one and Kevin Durant went number two? Everybody for forever wanted the post player. You got to win with the big post player. Steph Curry shows up, and all of a sudden, nobody cares about the center position anymore in the NBA. But I keep wondering in my head, is that just because the game's changed and you no longer need a big man in basketball? Or is it because the big men now aren't as good as the big men used to be? If you put Shaquille O'Neal in the NBA today, I got a pretty good feeling Shaq would dominate in the paint. Steph Curry and Klay would shoot all the threes. I got a pretty good feeling about Shaq. In the NFL, the way to win, you can do it multiple ways. The Denver Broncos with Peyton Manning in 2015 had an absolutely dominant defense. The New England Patriots have done it every which way. Brady throws for 150 in one Super Bowl. Brady throws for 500 in another Super Bowl. He's done it both. We see teams that have great quarterbacks. Patrick Mahomes has won a Super Bowl. Aaron Rodgers has won a Super Bowl. Drew Brees has won a Super Bowl. And we've seen Nick Foles and Joe Flacco and Trent Dilfer and those guys win Super Bowls. So I want to go back to Sunday's game. Can you win a Super Bowl with Derrick Henry as your star player? Can you win a Super Bowl with a team that is run first, reliant on the running back, and doesn't have a dominant defense? And here's why I ask this question. Because every single team you think about that was just dominant on defense to win a Super Bowl, that was a run-first team, had a great top 10 level defense. We all know the Tennessee Titans, no matter how improved the defense is this year from last year's atrocious defense, that defense is not going to be a top 10 defense in the NFL. They're just not good enough. They're probably not coached well enough. And they certainly don't have the depth or the players in order to do that. There's a good defense. There's an okay defense. There's a passable defense. And there's the 2000 Ravens. And the Titans are not that. But yet, I think about your schedule. I think about all the games that are on it. How many games, and I said this yesterday, how many games are going to be harder than on the road at Seattle against that quarterback with those fans, and you've got injuries all over the place? You've got a backup left tackle. You've got a starting right tackle that could probably only start for one team in the league right now, yours. You got a backup middle linebacker in there with the green dot on. You got a backup safety off the practice squad who you had to take out of the game. And yet you went in there and you beat Russell Wilson and the Seattle Seahawks. Is there going to be a tougher game on the schedule this year? At the Rams, Sunday night football, maybe. Buffalo on a Monday night, maybe, but probably not. The Chiefs at home at noon on a Sunday, maybe. Maybe Seattle's not good this year. I don't know. But I keep wondering, how many games are going to be harder than that? That game and that situation, and yet you found a way to win. And it wasn't like the Titans went in there, as was well documented yesterday. It wasn't like the Titans went in there and played a perfect ball game. They roughed a punter. They missed a field goal. They fumbled the football. They blew two coverages. I mean, the Titans did not play a perfect ball game. And yet, because Derrick Henry is so freaking good, they won the game. Now, Derrick Henry, and whether or not he's an all-time great, which was a discussion they were having on Robbie and Rex Road today, whatever they'll say about Derrick Henry when he's done, we can worry about that then. Longevity will play a role into that, of how much we remember Derrick Henry as a great running back. But if you were to take Derrick Henry right now, every time the Titans have a game, they send out a release to all of us in the media. And it is, what, 40, 50 pages of just stats and random figures and things here and things there. And when you look at the company that Derrick Henry's performances over the last 3.5 years have, you know, the company that those equate to, it's always Jim Brown and Barry Sanders and Marshall Faulk and Terrell Davis and all guys who are in the Hall of Fame or who had just incredible seasons. Sean Alexander, for example, not in the Hall of Fame, had an incredible 2005 season. And so you think, you look at that and you're like, wow, that is something. But most people will tell you, you can't win a Super Bowl in the NFL being led by your running back. You have to have the quarterback. Well, we know that's not true. The Eagles did it with Nick Foles. The Ravens did it with Joe Flacco. Even Peyton in 2015, when he won with the Broncos, had been benched earlier in the season for Brock Osweiler. He wasn't the same Peyton Manning that won in 2006 with the Colts. But can you win with Derrick Henry as your running back? As that being the guy. And again, remember, in the 80s, in basketball, they said you couldn't win with the guard. You needed the bigger guy. You needed the forward, the Larry Bird. You needed that guy. But that didn't stop Magic Johnson. That didn't stop Isaiah Thomas. That didn't stop Michael Jordan. That didn't stop Kobe Bryant. Now people are saying you don't need the big man in the NBA. Okay, fine. In baseball, I'm sure there are some guys that rather win pitching. And there are other guys that rather win with the best bats in the lineup. But we know in baseball, you can win a World Series if you've got great pitching or if you've got great hitters. One or the other, you don't need them both. It's funny, you know, the analytics of baseball have changed so much lately that everybody wants to either hit a home run or strike out on every bat. Home run, strike out, walk. That's all anybody wants nowadays. The San Francisco Giants, who are leading the NL West. I watched them play this weekend. You know what they did to the Braves? They bunted. They stole bases. They played complete baseball. They have good defense. That doesn't go away. Running the football has always been something. You talk to these old football guys, they love running the football. You can win running the football. But can you win a Super Bowl with an average defense And I'm saying average because I'm trying to be nice here, and I think that average is probably the best we can hope for with the Titans defense this year. Fair?
Fair.
Can you win a Super Bowl with an average defense and Ryan Tannehill is your quarterback with this guy as the focal point of what you do? I know you can win it with a great defense. Tampa Bay proved that last year. I know you can win it with a great quarterback. I know you can win it if you've got the best pass rushers in the NFL. If you've got Michael Strahan and O.C. Umenyora and Justin Tuck, you can win a Super Bowl with Eli Manning as your quarterback. If you've got Shaq Barrett and JPP and Ndamukong Suh and Vita Vea, you can win a Super Bowl. But can you win the Super Bowl with an average defense that doesn't have a superstar player on it and Derrick Henry running the football? Can he carry the team to a Super Bowl? Ian, you remember this back in the day. Floyd used to always talk, and we'd talk all the time about all kinds of stuff. And Floyd used to always say that the difference between an elite quarterback, we used to call them big boy table quarterbacks, the difference between an elite quarterback and everybody else is that an elite quarterback could carry the team. Team's not playing well. Guys are fumbling the ball. Mistakes are made. Brady can get you out of it. Andrew Luck could get you out of it. Aaron Rodgers can get you out of it. Patrick Mahomes can get you out of it. Did Sunday not prove that Derrick Henry can get you out of it? If we were to go to any other market in the country and say, you know what, I think you can win a Super Bowl with a team that is led by its running back, they'd laugh you out of the building. And yet, that's the question I'm asking today. What we saw out of Derrick Henry, they were down 30-16 going to the fourth quarter, and Derrick Henry carried them across the finish line. Now, we live in this crazy black and white society where you're either all the way over here or you're all the way over there. And team sports doesn't work like that. So it's not like I'm saying that there's nobody else who's any good on the Tennessee Titans except for Derrick Henry. That's not what I'm saying. Just like how when John Elway won his Super Bowls, he had Terrell Davis and Ed McCaffrey and Rod Smith and that great Bronco defense. Just like when Peyton Manning was in Indianapolis and he had Marvin Harrison and Reggie Wayne and he had Edgerrin James and Dallas Clark and Bob Sanders on defense and Tony Dungy. Like, nobody does anything by themselves. Brady didn't do it by himself. And yet, when we look back on how did Kansas City win a Super Bowl, they did it because of Patrick Mahomes. Can you do that with Derrick Henry? 615-737-1025 is the phone number, 615-737-1025. And I don't think there's going to be a harder game on the schedule than the one that Derrick Henry got you back into on Sunday. 615-737-1025. That's the question we're starting with. Do you literally think with an average defense you can win a Super Bowl being led by your running back? We'll get Caroline's thoughts on that. We'll get your thoughts on that. Plus, Peter Schrager had an interesting take. We'll get to that as well. And what Derrick Henry had to say to the team after the game and why maybe that's a big deal. We'll discuss Stillman & Company right here. It's ESPN 102.5 The Game, and we're streaming on the Gabe Nashville app.
Hey, look, we talked about kicking down the door. You just got to keep kicking. Keep kicking, I promise you. I can't be more proud to be the head coach of this football team. Okay, that is not us in the first half. There's glimpses of it. But that is our identity, Derrick. That right there in the second half is our identity.
Yes, sir.
Believe in it. Practice it, preach it, demand it out of each other. Demand it out of each other. I couldn't be more proud to be your coach. Randy Bullock. Hey! I don't know what it ended with, Derrick.
Deuce Duke!
And we had to have it, man. We put a lot on your shoulders.
Yes, sir.
Okay, we demand a lot of you.
Deuce Duke!
Congratulations. Yes, okay, but I promise you, if you fight like you did in the second half, I'll take you in any street fight, Ola. Okay, I will take you in any street fight, Ben, Roger, Nate, Quiz, all you guys that played up there, man. Okay, Ty, picking you guys' bodies up and standing eight count after standing eight count, but that wore on them. It wore on them. We said not in the first half sometimes, not in the third quarter, but in the fourth quarter we had to have it. We took it right on down the field with the big fella, man. Okay, enjoy this fight home, man. Talk about your teammates. Put the team first. Ignore all the other... Man, Derrick, break him down, man.
There you go. That was the Mike Vrabel in the locker room. By the way, can we ask the Titans Twitter to put like a parental advisory sticker on there so we can actually hear what Vrabel said?
Yeah, there are children that listen to this show.
No, I'm not talking about for. I'm just talking about us, the fans. Like, say, hey, you know, there's some expletives here, you know, with Vrabel. I mean, did you not hear that? It sound like a CD skipping.
Yeah, it's
listening to that. I'd like to hear what
Vrabel
said. I feel
like we got about 70% of the words that he actually said there.
I think we have an idea of what he said. So we're starting off on this. The reason they won the game on Sunday, and I tried to talk about this yesterday. I'm not sure I did a good enough job. You heard Vrabel there saying, you know, hey, in the first half, it didn't come our way running the ball. In the third quarter, it didn't come our way running the ball. But, hey, we stayed tough. And in the fourth quarter, we knocked the door down. Well, duh. That's how Derrick Henry does it every game. Every team has a game plan. I guarantee you, Matt Eberflus in Indianapolis. And there was a time, and I don't know what's happened since, like, last year when Derrick ran for 275 on him or whatever it was. There is a you know, playbook that they get for each game. And I guarantee you, in the Indianapolis playbook, the number one thing Matt Eberflus is telling his guys is we cannot let Derrick Henry beat us. And I remember that Matt Eberflus got there with Frank Reich in 2018. And for the last couple of years, there's been a stat out there that is Derrick Henry, that no running back has run for 100 yards on Matt Eberflus' defense over 3 years, except Derrick Henry, who's done it four times. Like, he's the one guy that just, Derrick Henry has no problem with that. And I guarantee you, Indianapolis is saying, we cannot let Derrick Henry beat us. Remember last year when we played him and we beat him, Henry didn't have 200 yards, and then we played him, Henry had 200 yards. Well, you can't let Henry beat us. Seattle knew that. Every carry Derrick got in the first half, they were trying to stop him. I mean, the Titans needed to throw that play-action bomb to Julio, because if not, Seattle's just going to bring everybody down. But unlike the Arizona game, where the Titans got themselves out of what they wanted to do, this game, they just kept giving it to Derrick. Give it to Derrick, give it to Derrick, give it to Derrick. And it's like Nick Saban said on the show, the more you give it to him, the better he plays. And I look back at that, and I just keep wondering, is that plan? And Downing stuck with it. Derrick, Derrick, Derrick. Can you win a Super Bowl that way? Your thoughts.
I don't think so. I very, very much think so that Derrick Henry can carry this team, has carried this team, and will continue to carry this team in the future. I would say that Derrick Henry, more than any other player on this team, is synonymous with the Tennessee Titans. You ask anyone in the national conversation, sure, name a player in the Tennessee Titans, Derrick Henry, probably 9 times out of 10, if not every single time, is the person that they name, the player on this team, that they associate with the Tennessee Titans. But with this defense, with an average defense, I don't think that you can win a Super Bowl. If you look at the past Super Bowl winners of the past, I mean, yeah, that Buccaneers defense was incredible. There are several stars in that team. The Kansas City Chiefs, they have stars on that defense. I just don't think that this Titans defense is good enough for Derrick Henry to be able to carry the offense and be able to make up for anything that any points that the Titans defense gives up.
So remember yesterday the comparison I made to Peyton Manning?
Yes.
Which, like, to me right now, he's your Peyton Manning. If I went on a national television show, Colin Cowherd, you know, joining us on The Herd, Jared Stillman, and I said, he's their Peyton Manning. He's their Tom Brady. He's their Patrick Mahomes. I'd get laughed off the set. I mean, it just, they'd say, all right, we can't talk to this guy anymore.
Why?
That's because nobody, I think, ever looks at a running back as the man on a true contender. Now, they can look at it, like, for example, Terrell Davis. You know, and I'm not saying that Terrell Davis wasn't, you know, Terrell Davis. In the Denver Broncos, when they won their two Super Bowls, Terrell Davis was the reason why. John Elway was the quarterback. But Davis, I mean, he had a 2,000-yard season. Elway didn't even throw for 3,000 yards that last year. I mean, it was all about TD. And yet, when you ask everybody, you know, why did the Broncos win the Super Bowls in the late 90s, they'll say it was Elway. And on top of that, even if you were to say, well, hey, Terrell Davis was really guiding the ship then, they'd say, yes, but they had John Elway. And, again, I've been a big Tannehill supporter and a big Tannehill defender, and I like Tannehill, and I believe in Tannehill, and I'm not trying to take anything away from Tannehill, but I think I've realized kind of Tannehill is what he is. And that's good. Like, he's good for what you do. But is what he is, when it's 165 yards in the playoff game against Baltimore, or he's trying to get you back in the game against the Kansas City Chiefs in the AFC title game, is that good enough to win a Super Bowl? And then my response then would be, I don't know. Now I'm sitting here kind of saying, Derek's got to be the one that does that. That when you're down 11 in the AFC championship game, Derek's got to go bust a 73-yarder to get you back in it. That's how you beat the Chiefs the first time. Derek ran for 182 yards or whatever it was. And I just don't think people around the country are willing to believe that that's a way you can win a Super Bowl, because there's not a team off the top of your head that you can say, hey, this dominant running back won a Super Bowl. I'm just thinking through in my head that, you know, going back to it, Barry Sanders never won a Super Bowl. Earl Campbell never won a Super Bowl. O.J. Simpson never won a Super Bowl. Mm-hmm. I mean, these are all-time runners. Emmitt Smith won a Super Bowl, but when it comes to Emmitt, he had Troy. And I just don't think that anybody will look at Tannehill like they'll look at Elway or Troy. Or those guys are in the Hall of Fame. And I think that's kind of where I'm like, you know, is Tannehill good enough to do this? Because right now, I'm asking, can you do this with Derek alone? And you even said no. And I think most of the people around the country kind of feel that way.
Yeah, it feels like a little bit of a stretch. Let's say this was a top 10 defense in the league.
Sure, now you got
then
an argument.
That's a serious conversation that you can have, because I do think that you can win a Super Bowl with Ryan Tannehill. You just have to build the pieces around him. I don't think that he is an Aaron Rodgers-level type of quarterback that he can steal a Super Bowl for you, can win you games that you really aren't supposed to.
But he's better than Foles, and he's better than Flacco,
but he doesn't need to be
Dilfer.
That. Right. He has plenty of strong weapons around him. I just don't think that defense is quite strong enough. And absolutely, Derrick Henry can win you games. Absolutely, Derrick Henry can carry you to the playoffs. But when it gets to playing the Chiefs, when it gets to playing some of the better teams in the league, I don't think that Derrick Henry alone is going to be good enough to get you past those teams into the Super Bowl.
Ian, what do you think? Can you win a Super Bowl with Derrick Henry as your star player?
Well, the one thing that popped into my mind when you guys were talking, it almost feels like they might have to rely too much on the home run from Henry, if that's the case. And granted, he's, you know, extremely unique as far as his ability to hit home runs. You know, I mean, we probably haven't really seen that much like this since Chris Johnson in the league in general, not just with the Titans. But it almost feels like they rely too much on the home run. Like, they're going to need a 60-yard run to flip the field all the time if it's going to be like this, you know, on a regular basis. So I do worry about that part.
So I see y'all lined up. We'll get to your phones next on it. 615-737-1025, and that's the question. Can you do this with Derrick Henry the way they're doing it? Now, if you gave me the defense that they had in 2019, I think you could.
You could entertain that thought, 100%.
If you had the 2018 defense, you definitely could. I just don't know with this defense. They're better than they were last year. How much better are they than they were last year? I don't know. We'll get to your phones on it next. 615-737-1025. Let me tell you about my friends at Edmunds. Buying a car can be overwhelming, especially now that demand is back and in full swing. Lucky for you, my friends at Edmunds has been taking the stress out of car shopping for over 50 years. Edmunds editors drive over 500,000 miles every year, testing thousands of hours on hundreds of new vehicles. They review almost every car in the market and rank the best ones in each category, so you can narrow your search and compare options side by side to find the best vehicle for you. When you're ready, Edmunds makes it easy to find the options in your area with accurate price estimates. Edmunds editors document and drive, you know, what kind of vehicles can maintain and what they can handle over the course of 20,000 miles in the first year of ownership. They report red flags and routine ins and outs and everything else you need to know. So give it a try. Again, that's my friends at Edmunds. I love them. Edmunds is here to help guide you to your perfect vehicle. Visit Edmunds.com to see their best car rankings and search for the vehicles near you. That's Edmunds.com, because for cars, there's Edmunds.
Pete Carroll had said that they were guarding all day against letting Derrick Henry break one. When it did, from you guys' perspective, like, can you see physically on the other side how it takes the wind out of their sails when that happens?
You know, I mean, I think so. When they, you know, when Derrick's able to get to the second level and run past, you know, one of their faster players and one of their better players, you know, it got started. AJ got us into the play. You know what I mean? Blocked Adams. He's down there around the line of scrimmage and does such an excellent job. You know, we got everybody covered up. We came back. You know, Julio was able to get a block that, you know, on the backside that, you know, the play's never designed to go there. You know, just keep asking some of our better players that aren't, you know, involved with, you know, that don't have the football in their hand to be able to help us in other ways. And they did that, you know, most of the time. And, you know, just an outstanding effort by Derek in the run game and a lot of other people.
That was Mike Vrabel yesterday. You know he doesn't want to answer a question like that. But when do you think Seattle, like for me, watching the Cardinals game week one on that first series or second series when Kyler Murray puts the ball in the end zone for Hopkins and he somehow gets both feet in bounds for a touchdown, I was like, oh, God. I was like, oh, not him, not today, not this, not that, oh, God. Can you imagine being Pete Carroll? You hold Derrick Henry to 45 yards or whatever it was in the first half, and you're thinking like, okay, you know, we've 45
yards. That was
yards.
Our big game plan on defense. Limit Derrick Henry, limit his catches, limit his runs.
If we hold Derrick Henry to 90 yards today, we'll win the game.
Yeah.
And then what do you think it was? The first touchdown where Derrick like bounced it to the left? Or do you think it was the home run where Pete thought, oh, God, no. Oh, no, no.
See, I think after the first one, he was probably like, okay, this is okay. This is fine. And then he just went off and Pete Carroll's probably like, oh, we awoke the beast.
Do you think if I texted Pete and asked him that, do you think that he would be receptive to that question or no?
Probably not. If I was Pete Carroll, I would probably block your number.
Hey, I consider Pete a friend. So with that, I will not send that text message. Let's go to your phones as promised. Phone lines driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com, 615-737-1025. Chris is going to kick us off today. He's been waiting patiently on Derrick Henry. Thank you for calling. Go ahead, Chris.
How are you guys?
Good.
All right, Mr. Jared. I would like to comment on the Derrick Henry conversation.
Please do.
No, I don't think that it's really very possible for an NFL team to win with just Derrick Henry and even an average defense. But I would like to point out one team that kind of comes close to your argument. That would be the 2017 Eagles, who had the 17th overall defense and Jay Ajayi as running back. And Nick Foles was their quarterback in the Super Bowl. Now, I know Carson Wentz played most of the season, but he was injury-riddled. I think that's about as close as you're going to come.
Like, that's not good enough for me. And I appreciate your call, Chris. That's not good. I mean, when he said the 2017 Eagles, do you know what I thought?
What?
Who was their running back?
Who was their running back?
So he said Jay Ajayi, and Ajayi was part of it. But they had, like, a running back by committee.
Right.
They had Darren Sproles was part of it. They had the kid Clements was out there. I mean, when I have to say who was your running back, that's not what I'm talking about here. This is, hey, like and I said it yesterday, this is your Michael Jordan. Like, this is the guy. When you win, this is why you win, because of this guy. And nobody would ever say that about the 2017 Eagles. I mean, just thinking about, you know, the century, right? There's not one running back that has won a Super Bowl that I can think of off the top of my head that I'm like, this dude carried his team to the Super Bowl. Like, when I grew up, you know, watching the Titans in the late 90s and the Oilers, and Corey Dillon was as bad of a boy as they come in Cincinnati. And that team was so wretched. And yet, I think there was a game in 97, I looked it up when we were talking about Corey Dillon one time with Chris Sanders, where the Oilers lost, and Corey Dillon ran for like 248 yards. Corey Dillon was doing Derrick Henry things like before Derrick Henry, but he was just on god-awful teams and god-awful organizations. He didn't have a Tannehill, and he didn't even have a Vrabel or anything like it. And then by the time he went to New England, and he had a couple good seasons in New England and won a Super Bowl, but he wasn't the guy, as we all know, in New England. I can't think off the top of my head of a dominant running back that carried his team to a title. I know Marshall Faulk won a title with the Rams. I'm trying to think like in the last, you know, the past decade. I can't remember. Jerome Bettis won a championship at the end with Pittsburgh, but he wasn't the guy there. He was done by the time the bus was winning a title.
Well, this is such a quarterback-driven league.
Sure, and defense.
Yes, quarterback-driven league, elite defenses, and the run game just in the past, you know, 20 years has become so, I don't want to say irrelevant, but increasingly irrelevant in the past 10 to 20 years.
Well, I think it's the teams that think that it's irrelevant that get caught up and they don't understand, and they draft Clyde Edwards-Helaire in the first round, and it's like, what?
You know, and then they go to the Super Bowl.
Yeah, but if they had
but they also have Patrick Mahomes.
If they had Jonathan Taylor at running back, if they had taken Jonathan Taylor and not Clyde Edwards-Helaire, I think I'd worry about the Kansas City running game a lot more. You know, about, hey, let's turn around, hand the ball off 30 times to this guy because we can do it. They can't do it now. And they're a running back by committee kind of team.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that people think, like, you know what, you can't do it with a running back. And I'm not here to say you can't. I'm asking the question, can you? Because if we're talking Super Bowl with this team, then that's what you have to do. The defense is not going to be a top 10 defense this year. Tannehill is not going to be an elite quarterback. So you have to do it with Derrick Henry being your go-to guy. Let me ask you, in the 90s in basketball, teams built around post players. Forget about Michael. But the New York Knicks built around Patrick Ewing. The Orlando Magic built around Shaquille O'Neal. The Miami Heat built around Alonzo Mourning. The Utah Jazz built around Karl Malone. The Rockets built around Hakeem Olajuwon. Take Jordan out of it. Olajuwon won two titles. David Robinson and Tim Duncan won a title in San Antonio. Like, I think that you could win basketball with a big man. Could you win in basketball today with a dominant big man? Could you win today with John Stockton and Karl Malone?
I would say yes, probably.
But doesn't everybody just want to shoot threes now?
Yes, but I mean, you look at, I mean, LeBron isn't an elite shooter, but he's a big man. And he's won how many titles?
Yeah, but LeBron's not back to the basket, throw it into the post. You know, like Ewing,
it's
those guys are post players.
Vintage NBA basketball.
Yeah, those, but I mean, those are 7-foot guys that are in the post, and LeBron's more outside than he is inside.
But also, you're looking at a game where one player, one elite player, can carry a team of four just average guys.
Then again, Milwaukee doesn't shoot the three like that. At least Antetokounmpo doesn't shoot the three like that. He can't even make a free throw. So maybe that is. And I think before this year, we'd have said, hey, you can't have a guy that can't even hit a free throw. I mean, I don't think the 76ers can win because Ben Simmons can't shoot and Embiid can't shoot. So
Ben Simmons, no longer on the Sixers as of today. A little bit of breaking news. No, but he is not reporting to training camp and says he intends to not play one more single game for the Philadelphia 76ers.
God, he's a freaking loser. Oh, I can't stand that guy. I can't stand any of those guys. I can't stand any guy that's like, you know, that hasn't, you know, doesn't have the, like, doesn't have Tom Brady's trophy chest that's like, eh, I don't like it here anymore. Like, maybe make a free throw and then come talk to me. That's another story. Steven is up next on Derrick Henry. Thank you for calling the show. Go ahead, Steven.
Jared, when the national media is talking more about how good the defense was in the final three quarters of the game, more than our own states, and it kind of disappoints me. I feel like we're going to be well above average, or at least average. That defense, other than about four plays yesterday, was really good, and I feel like they can win the Super Bowl with this Derrick Henry. This version of Derrick Henry and that version of defense that we've seen for the final three quarters, which completely clamped down on Seattle's offense, except for that one play to Swain, I feel like we could win it.
Okay, thank you for your call. Are we taking the cheese on the defense? Again, we're talking about the Super Bowl here. We're not talking about, can you get to the playoffs? Can you get to an AFC title game?
Can the Titans get to the playoffs with this defense? Yeah. Probably.
Sure.
Can they win a Super Bowl? That is so much taller a task because I don't think they can.
Are you taking the cheese on the defense, Ian?
They're going to have to get a lot better. As of right now, if they play a top quarterback, top 10 quarterback, a legit offense, they're going to give up 30 points a game.
And they, like those busted coverages and things, like that, you can't do that.
You can't just give up an assignment.
You know who did that? The Green Bay Packers did that in the NFC title game, and that's why they're not Super Bowl champions, because they'd have probably beaten the Chiefs too. Like, they did that in the NFC title game. Remember that prevent defense drive the Titans gave Russell 7 points right before the half on Sunday? Green Bay did that. Brady hit Scotty Miller for a touchdown in the end zone. They busted coverages. You can't have that. Like, you can't do that, and you can expect to win. And I don't know what the national media is saying. I mean, I watch a little bit of Colin Cowherd today, but I haven't seen, like, the in-depth, you know, breakdowns of what they're saying. But I can't jump on board with great game defense.
Yeah, the defense will look fine when they play Jacksonville, Houston, the Jets.
Oh, hey, if Jacob Eason starts
Chicago,
quarterback this week,
they'll look great.
I feel pretty good about the defense.
But when they play legit teams with legit offenses, they're going to give up 30.
Well, that's what I said last year, and I got some criticism about it, but I said last year when they lost to Green Bay in that Sunday night game in the snow where Rodgers just lit them up, and I said they're contenders, or they're pretenders, not contenders. And people are like, what do you mean? And I'm like, they can't stop a good offense. Baker comes in here and hangs 40. Then they play Rodgers a couple weeks later, and he hangs 40. You can't beat those kind of quarterbacks. Now, look, you want to beat the Chicago Bears, they can do that. You want to beat Gardner Minshew or Nick Foles or whoever it is. Was it Glennon last year?
Glennon and Foles. I think Foles got hurt.
Yeah, I mean, like, yeah, you want to play though? Okay, fine. All right, yeah, you can beat those guys. But you can't beat the guys you're going to have to beat with that defense. And then Lamar Jackson in a playoff game takes one to the house, and all of a sudden it's like, okay, there you go, end of the playoffs.
And I was saying this to Ian yesterday that, you know, if this Titans defense gives up 30 points, all the Titans need to do is score 31. They win games. But how sustainable is that? And do you really want to rely on your offense scoring 35, 40 points a game in order to win games?
You can do it if he runs for 180 every game.
And then also, how sustainable is that?
Yep.
A running back that's been in the league for, what, 5 years now?
Yes, this would be Derek's sixth year.
Yes.
Now, the first two were kind of redshirts.
Do you really want to do that, though? Do you really want to push your running back to 180, 200 yards a game in order to win games? You can win games that way.
See, I'm going to say yes, because that's what they did in the 2019 playoffs. But I do think that there is another step there.
A 17-game season plus the playoffs, plus it's 2 years removed from that 2019 season?
Well, when they play the Jacksonville's, they'll...
Yes, they will cut back.
McNichols get some carries. 615-737-1025. We're back to your phones, plus what Peter Schrager had to say. We'll get to that coming up next about the Titans win at Seattle and how much it's about Derrick Henry. Let me tell you about Invigorate Health. That's right, InvigorateHealthTN.com, Invigorate Health. If you're feeling old, and trust me, I wake up, I'm in my 30s. I'll be 32 this week, and I wish I felt like I was 24 or 25. Because I put in way more effort in my diet and exercise and sleep and everything else that I did in my 20s. And I still don't feel like I'm in my 20s. You need to talk to my friends at Invigorate Health. They will get you, just go in for a consultation, and they will check all of your levels and everything else. And they'll say, okay, this is why at 46 years old, you feel the way you feel. Here's how you can feel young again. Whether it's something like an IV therapy, they've got it. In fact, they can bring the IV therapies to you. Invigorate Health can. Whether it's hormone replacement therapies for your vitality, you know, you need a little testosterone here or there. I don't know. They will when they take a look at your blood levels, things like that. They'll know. Whether you need the M-Sculpt Neo, again, non-invasive. They just put the machine right on you. It goes to work, and you lose fat reduction at 30%. You gain muscle at 25. It will definitely define your stomach, your hips, your waist, your abs, whatever. They've got the perfect setup for you because everything's on the table with them and it is all designed for you. Invigorate Health. Don't feel old anymore. Don't feel fat anymore. Don't feel like you're not yourself anymore. InvigorateHealthTN.com. My guys, tell them Jared Stillman sent you. I absolutely love Invigorate Health.
So I'm a Seattle kid. I'm a Russell Wilson fanboy, and I kind of watched it marginally because I thought the game was over. So what do you take from the Titans storming back Pete Carroll's first ever opening week home loss in Seattle? What do you make of it?
They were up 30-16 in the fourth quarter and lost that game, and we can easily go to the Seattle side of it, or we can go to the Tennessee side of it, which I want to do. And I can tell you, I spoke to guys in that organization all last week. They were embarrassed last week. They got beaten up. They got bloodied. And they took it on the nose. And you saw Taylor Lewan tweeted out that he knows what happened there with Chandler Jones. But I can tell you that Derrick Henry, who is not a vocal guy, was a vocal leader throughout the week and was stressing to the team that we can't lose this game. They fall down 30-14. And if you saw, Henry was chirping. 35 carries, had what Derrick Henry was supposed to do that first game. It shows the resilience of this Titans team. Vrabel called out Julio Jones after the first week, and that was kind of his way of showing the rest of the team, anybody is open for criticism. Not after that game. You're not going to be skating by. Julio was great. Derrick Henry was great. What a testament to Vrabel and that offensive staff for getting this team going in the second half there to win this game. Now it's anybody's division. They're wide. If they were 0-2, we'd be really hitting the panic button. Huge win for Tennessee and the morale there in that building.
That was Peter Schrager talking about the Titans' win today on Colin Cowherd on Fox Sports 1. And I wonder this. You know, you heard right there, they were down 30-16, and the Titans stayed with it, and they stayed with Derrick Henry, and Derrick Henry wasn't going to let them lose. And could this be turning over a new leaf for Derrick Henry? Like, we know Derrick Henry can win rushing titles. But remember what the old saying was in the early 90s in basketball, or the late 80s. Michael Jordan wins scoring titles. Magic Johnson, Larry Bird win championships. The Bad Boy Pistons win championships. Because the Pistons said, you know what, we're just going to annihilate Jordan, and that's what we'll do. And then Jordan had to get tougher, had to become a better teammate. They brought in Phil Jackson, the triangle offense. Okay, Michael's passing the ball more. Now, nobody ever says, well, you know, Michael can win scoring titles, but Michael can't win championships. Nobody ever says, hey, Peyton Manning's got all the stats, but Brady has the championships, because Peyton ended up winning Super Bowls. Do you think that Derrick Henry, and we'll get back to your phones, do you think that Derrick Henry has turned over a new leaf where now he's realized how his performance can elevate you to win? Where it's not just Derrick ran for 200 yards today, but it is Derrick knows that his legs can get you back in a game, not just dominate a game and wear you down at the end kind of thing.
Well, I don't think it was a coincidence that Derrick Henry's performance, Derrick Henry's runs, are the reason why the Titans offense perked up a little bit in that second half.
Sure.
Because it could have been so easy for the Titans after that rough second quarter to come back and just be like, okay, we're ready for our funeral. You know, let's just get this game over with. Let's take our L. But Derrick Henry would not let that team go down. And that wasn't just his performance on the field. I think it was also his leadership off the field. We saw it in week one when he was just tearing that team a new one on the sidelines. And I have to think that they went into that locker room at halftime, and I'm sure Derrick Henry had some words for the team because they looked like a different team. They looked like they were re-energized in the second half. So now, I haven't covered this team very long. Has Derrick Henry been that kind of leader in the past?
No. And no, he hasn't. And the Titans had a video that they put out on Twitter, the one that we were talking about. You know, maybe they could take some of the expletives and put them in there for us, because I kind of want to know what they said. So Vrabel, you know, tells the team, like, hey, way to go, guys. Like, yes, yes, yes. You know, you're, you know, whatever. And then he tells Derrick Henry to break it down. And Derrick, and this is on camera that we could all see, Derrick was the one, you know, the alpha dog in the middle. Ian, if we could, this is what Derrick Henry said to the team after Vrabel gave his speech after they won.
I challenge y'all, bro. And I can look in all y'all eyes, and I knew y'all wanted it, man. That's family. Family sit together no matter what happens in the game. Mm-hmm. Any adversity, we going to come through that. I told you, if you see the play, go make it. Mm-hmm. Each and every week, that's all we got to do. One play at a time, one practice at a time. Win every day. Not just every game. Win every day. Mm-hmm. But we going to go all the way, bro. Yes, we got to take it one week at a time, bro.
One week at a time.
Let's go, baby. Hey, Titans on three. One, two, three.
Titans!
I don't think that we've seen that before, Ian.
I can't think of anything in particular that pops into mind. No.
I feel like the Derrick Henry leading has been Derrick Henry leading by example.
Mm-hmm.
And not Derrick being like,
leader.
Everybody get together and I'm going to tell you what to do. I mean, I remember as a kid, you know, I used to always get like the VHS tapes. You probably never watched a VHS tape in your life.
I'm not that young. I was born in the 90s.
Right. Well, DVDs were like the main thing in like 2003.
No, I had plenty of VHS tapes.
Okay.
So like the orange Nickelodeon ones. Those were the best.
I did have those too.
Yeah.
The VHS tapes. I used to always, the Atlanta Braves, like 91 season, 95 season. I got the 1999 Titans VHS tape. And in it, it starts off, you know, this is the first season ever. And they end up in the first game against Cincinnati, Steve McNair is sitting in there and he's, you know, talking to the guys a little bit, and Eddie George just takes over and just starts screaming at everybody. And Eddie was, There was a video they used to always play to get the fans going, which would show Eddie that first year with a towel, and he'd stand up on the bench, and he was yelling at the fans to get into it, and they'd show it on the Jumbotron, place go nuts. Eddie was that guy. Eddie George was. But we saw Eddie, you know, when they became the Titans, and he was in years 3, 4, 5, not, you know, early in his career. Derek sits 2 years on the bench. Derek doesn't have that personality. I don't believe. I think Derek is a lead-by-example guy, and that's how he's always been talk. He's always been told, losers talk, winners work. So I'm going to work, and you're going to see me work, and you're going to say, hey, I want to be like Derrick Henry because he leads by example. And I think now Derek's realized, hey, there's another side of this that I got to start doing. Because it feels like he's, to your point, that you asked, you know, saying, hey, I haven't covered the team that long. It's a good question you ask. Because I feel like Derrick Henry has not been the macho man because it's just not his style. And now, like with all things in life, like at some point you have to adapt your style. You have to change. And I think he has. I think he realized that Arizona game, okay, I got to be mean to these guys now. Just kind of like...
Michael Jordan.
Michael Jordan.
How many Michael Jordan references have we had in the 54 minutes that we've been live?
I just love Michael Jordan. I love Michael Jordan. I mean, I do. I just love everything about Michael Jordan. Even the a-hole Michael Jordan I loved. I just love him.
He was kind of an a-hole.
Oh, yeah. Well, I used to work with... Well, there it is. 615-737-1025. Let's hit the text line for a second. What do we have in the text line? Because I know we haven't gotten to it yet.
One texter texts in and says, there is no way the Titans can win with Derek with that god-awful offensive line. Robinson is totally to blame for not addressing the O-line and taking Farley, who was already a broken toy. You have to look at the Titans' second-round pick, to be fair. Even though he's not out there, that is a need that John Robinson tried to address.
Oh, Robinson's tried. Draft. He's just stunk at it.
He just hasn't. He hasn't. Been successful, but you can't say he hasn't tried.
How bad? I mean, is the offensive line bad?
Yeah, the offensive line is bad.
Is it? I mean, I thought that they did okay
Sunday. But did they do okay against Seattle because Ryan Tannehill didn't get sacked 5 times?
I think you can make an argument either way.
Yeah. I think it's the same thing with the defense. Like, is the Titans defense good or is it just improved from 2020? Because those are two kind of different things.
Michael's up next on Derrick Henry. The verdict is out on the offensive line. Michael is up next on Derrick Henry. Thank you for calling the show. Go ahead, Michael.
Hey, guys. Thanks for taking my call.
Sure.
Everyone's focusing on Derrick Henry and all the rushing that he does, but rightfully so, because obviously it's top of the top in the NFL. But he had 237 scrimmage yards, and only 182 of those were rushing. He had some good catches up either, whether it be in the screen game or just right up the middle. And I think that him improving on that is what's going to take him over the top and possibly be that Michael Jordan for us to take us to possibly a Super Bowl. Also, there were about 5 or 6 plays where he dropped back to in pass pro to help block Jamal Adams or someone else that was rushing that I thought he did a fantastic job. And
I agree.
Really heard talking about that. But there were at least 5 or 6 plays where he just completely stonewalled one of the Seahawks from his Tannehill, and I think
Michael, I appreciate your call. You are 100% right. I rewatched the game, that play action that everybody criticized Todd Downing for going away from. Mm-hmm. There were a couple plays where they play action, and here comes a blitzer, and Derek just took that guy head on. And we remember Derek in pass pro in the past, where it was like you didn't want to criticize Derek Henry because he's Derek Henry, but I mean he'd get Ryan Tannehill killed, got Marcus killed, but now he's not doing that. I mean, I thought he was great in pass pro. I'm going to say this, because all we've been doing is making basketball references. Derrick Henry, in a lot of ways, to me, is like Shaquille O'Neal. Where, you know, Shaq had Penny Hardaway. Shaq had Horace Grant. Shaq had Nick Anderson. Shaq had a decent team in Orlando. They got to the NBA Finals. Mm-hmm. You know, they got to the Eastern Conference Finals the next year with Shaq in Orlando. But it wasn't until he got Kobe that Shaq became 3-time Finals MVP. Ryan Tannehill is not Kobe Bryant. So, Derek's going to have to up his game with the pass catching that the caller was just referring to. Mm-hmm. Because Shaq could dominate anybody in the low post. But Shaq couldn't go outside and hit a jump shot. Shaq couldn't consistently make free throws. And he was never going to be able to do that. If Derek catching the ball, even the way he did, it's not like Christian McCaffrey.
He's not Alvin Kamara.
No. But if Derek can do what he did Sunday, I think there's a lot of defensive coordinators that are thinking, oh, God, now what do we do? Because the key with Derek, a lot like a great tight end, the reason why Rob Gronkowski is a great tight end is because Gronk is too big for defensive backs, and he's too fast for linebackers. So there's not like a player you can get unless you've got a big corner or a big safety that can run that you could match up Rob Gronkowski with. With Derek, the whole key with Derek is getting him to the second level. If you can get him past the fat guys, now it's Derek versus a DB, and I'll take Derek every time. We saw what he did to Josh Norman. We saw what he did to, was it Jared Wilson of the Jags, when he gave him the little Darth Vader choke. Like, we've seen Derek annihilate more defensive backs. That guy from the Lions, that poor sucker, we've seen what Derek does to DBs. If you're worried in pass pro, you know, say that there's Tannehill takes a snap, and Tannehill's dropping back to pass. And Tannehill, you know, here come your rushers, the fat guys, are coming at Tannehill, and he gets the ball to Derek. Now it's Derek and maybe a linebacker and a bunch of defensive backs. And I don't like that if I'm a defensive coach. Because if it's my DBs and your receivers are running with the DBs, all you got to do is block a little bit, Derek Henry's gone. And that is a game-changing development if it is more than just a one-week thing. Let's get Frazier in here, who's been waiting very patiently. Thank you for calling the show. Go ahead, Frazier. Frazier. Okay, call us back. You know the number. 615-737-1025. In fact, if you don't know the number, that is the phone number. ESPN 94.9 is the official English radio home of the Nashville Soccer Club. Listen in tomorrow night. Nashville SC takes on Miami. Pregame at 6:15, and the match begins at 6:30. Very, very exciting. Coming up next here on Stillman and Company, how optimistic should we be? This would be loser talk if they lost. But it's not because they won. But there is something about the Seattle game that you could almost say, what if, and then, wow, what could the Titans be? We'll get to that next. Stillman & Company, it's ESPN 102.5 The Game.